Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, everybody. It's Chris DeMakes, a podcast producer. Chris Fafalius here. As you might already know, we have a supporting cast program over at ChrisDeMakes.com. And if you're already a member of it, you know that we release episodes of the After Party podcast either weekly or bi-weekly, depending on which level you join. We've done episodes about everything from Chris's experience on the Bon Jovi tour to his first tour with the Descendants to episodes about our favorite TV theme songs and our favorite bass lines. Basically, we just have a lot of fun with this and we make episodes that we think everybody will enjoy. So, if you're already a member, then you've already heard this week's episode, where we take a look back at what music was popular 30 years ago this week. If you're not a member, though, we just wanted to give you a sneak peek of what the After Party podcast is all about. So yeah, take a listen to this preview, and if you enjoy what you hear, head on over to ChrisDeMakes.com, where you can join and enjoy new episodes every week, as well as a whole back catalog of great episodes. So without any further ado, here's a preview of this week's episode of the After Party. Summer of 91, a look back at the jams.
Welcome to the after party. Ready, set, let's go. Welcome to the after party, the show after the show. Learn a little something new. Join us for the ride. Chris and Chris want all of you to know. The after party's where it's at. The show after the show.
Hey friends, welcome to another after party.
Here we are, we're back. We both thought it would be really fun to every once in a while take a look back at a milestone amount of years ago from when we're recording this. And we said, why don't we do 30 years ago? Right now we're recording this. It's June 29th, 2021. By the time you're listening to this, if you're listening to it when it comes out, it's the first week of July. Or no matter when you're listening to it, it's still cool to take a look back at this time, June of 1991, because man, I took a look at what was going on in the world and what was going on in the charts, most importantly, maybe not most importantly, and I just feel like there's so much to talk about. But first off, Chris, what do you remember about June/July of 1991?
Well, I remember quite a bit, and you know, I had you research all this. I did not Google any of this. I did not look back. Just from memory, though, Saturday, June 2nd, 1991, I graduated high school, so I do know that, and I do remember quite a bit of what was going on at that time. We were in the Gulf War was going on still. I know that was happening in history. It would have been George Bush would have still been senior, would have still been in office at this point when I went to college. And I started college June 26th of 91. We talked about that on the college years episode that we did for the after party. So and as far as music goes, we're in that gray area of time. You know, all the word alternative was starting to happen in 1991. That word, that was the first time you ever heard it, late 90, early 91. And we were about 5 months away from Nirvana turning the world on its head. So that's what I remember. And I'm going to have you refresh my memory on a few other things.
Well, I was 11 years old at this time. For me, there was a lot of, I loved hockey, which this time was very important for me because I'm from Pittsburgh. And the Pittsburgh Penguins won their first ever Stanley Cup back in May of 1991.
Center was 5-4-3. Time runs out. The Stanley Cup has come to the city of Pittsburgh. The 1991 Stanley Cup champions, the Pittsburgh Penguins.
So that's a very
happy memory for me as a kid. I was very into hockey and very into Sega Genesis. And then I looked at some other things that were going on in the world at that time. Boris Yeltsin won Russia's first presidential election around this time. Colombian drug lord Pablo Escobar surrendered to police around this time. South Africa abolished the last of its apartheid laws. A spectator was killed by lightning at the U.S. Open golf tournament. And a couple other little things. Dana Plato. Do you know who Dana Plato is by any
chance? Dana Plato got arrested out in, I believe, Nevada or Las Vegas. She was trying to she tried to rob a pharmacy.
Yeah, rob a video store, it said in the thing.
Or but, a video store.
But what's this is kind of funny, man.
Why do I know that?
I mean, you were graduating high school at the time, and I guess you have a lot of memories, but I'll tell you one thing I remember about Dana Plato, who tragically died 8 years later, but something I remember is she was the first the first woman I ever saw naked in a Playboy as like a kid. I remember that she was like in Playboy in the first ever one I ever saw.
Different strokes for different folks.
Yeah, that was definitely a different stroke. Around this time, also Twin Peaks, David Lynch's Twin Peaks aired its final episode around June of 1991. And Head of the Class, the TV show Head of the Class, also aired its final episode. And dude, real quick, I want to tell you what was on TV in 1991, because this list of shows is jaw-dropping.
Beverly Hills 90210.
Yes.
Doogie Howser was still on.
Yes. not to mention The Wonder Years.
The Wonder Years. That was the other one I was thinking of. Yeah, The Wonder Years. I believe The Cosby Show was still running.
It was, as was A Different World.
A Different World. Married with Children was going. The Simpsons was in its heyday at this point. And was Hill Street Blues still going
then? Yep. Dude, yeah. The list is insane. There's Family Matters, Blossom, Growing Pains, Dinosaurs, Step by Step, Full House, Home Improvement, Perfect Strangers, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Wings, In Living Color, Seinfeld.
Saved by the Bell.
Saved by the Bell was probably around this time, I think. Designing Women, Night Court, Roseanne, Golden Girls, Quantum Leap, Murphy Brown, Major Dad, Coach, Murder, She Wrote, Unsolved Mysteries, Empty Nest, Cheers. Dude, so many shows that are just like legendary shows around this time. I was just, when I looked at the list, I was just like, wow.
Yeah, you know, and this was a good 15 years really before, heck, almost 20 years before streaming became a thing, and Netflix and all these other things came in, which really took a cut out of that. You know, TV was just in its heyday then. Cable TV was everywhere. Everybody had cable TV in their homes, and it's no wonder there was that many shows that were that popular.
Yeah, man. And Michael Landon died on July 1st of this year. If anyone watched Little House on the Prairie or Michael Landon was on something else. Touched by an Angel, maybe? Was that it?
Highway to Heaven.
Highway to Heaven, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Michael Landon died. And a couple other things before we start getting into the Billboard charts and all these song memories. One thing I will say, this song is not on the charts yet, but it would end up becoming the biggest song of 1991. Do you know what it is?
The biggest song of 1991. So it wasn't on the charts in June?
It was just about to be. It just made its entry, but it's not yet on the list that we're going to be reading. But I mean, whether it was the biggest in sales, it was the Billboard. Well, what do they call it? They said it was the Billboard Song of the Year, and it's from a movie soundtrack.
It's from a movie soundtrack. Would that be from The Bodyguard, Whitney Houston?
No. It's Everything I Do It For You by Bryan Adams.
Oh, yeah, Brian. Of course. Yeah, that I remember that video being played that summer I went to college. Yeah, that was from the Robin Hood soundtrack.
Yep, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, starring Kevin Costner and Morgan Freeman, which also came out in June of 1991. And then it was like a week later, this song was released. Not yet on these charts we're about to talk about.
Everything
One more thing I got to mention before we start talking charts here, Chris, is this was the first of Michael Jordan's string of NBA championships was right this month, June of 1991. And so, yeah, a lot of stuff going down, man. A lot of stuff happening around this time. But we got to get into these charts a little bit because I made some notable... I'm going to name all of the top 10 songs, but I made some notes along the way of the Billboard Hot 100 of things I thought were notable or things that you might have something to say about.
All right.
Well, one more thing I want to note about this is where it is on the charts right now. This may have meant that the song was come on the way down, or maybe it was just on its way up. I didn't really make much note of that. I just kind of made note of at this moment, June 29th, 1991, 30 years ago from when we're recording this, this is where these songs were on the chart. I made a little note of number 70 was I Touch Myself by the Divinyls.
Yeah, and that song, remember that being in my senior year of high school was just months before this. Again, I graduated June 2nd. I remember some girl getting crap from one of the custodians. She was talking about that song, and they said, don't talk. It was at lunch. Don't talk about that.
One of the custodians was offended by the Divinyls song?
Yeah, I think it was one of the custodians. But it's funny because, you know, they were, I believe Divinyls were Australian, and I think they had some hits over in Australia. But they were kind of a one-hit wonder. That was their one thing. I think we need to get them on the show to talk about that song.
That would be awesome. I mean, that song was a no-brainer.
Yeah, that song was big, though. That song was big.
Yeah, yeah, true. At 59 at that time was Joyride by Roxette. Pretty good jam.
Joyride, that band had quite a few big songs.
Yeah.
They were a faceless band, though. I mean, I remember the female singer had, like, blonde bleached hair or whatever, but for the most part, they were just kind of one of those radio bands, you know? They never really... They had success, but they were never, like, a household fixture.
Yeah, my mom definitely had some Roxette cassette singles in her Chrysler LeBaron in 1991. I know that. Dude... I despised this song around this time. I don't know why. You probably liked it. but Silent Lucidity by Queensryche was number...
What a horror. That's what killed me on Queensryche, man, because I don't like Pink Floyd. Sorry for anybody out there that does. And that was a total Pink Floyd ripoff.
I'm smiling next to you in Silent Lucidity.
That's when Queensryche, to me, jumped the shark. They lost the plot on that one. I want to see, though, if this song I just thought of, I thought you were going to say this at first, but is D-Light anywhere on the charts? Groove is in the Heart.
I didn't see it.
You didn't
on
see
it?
Okay,
there.
That must have been 1990 then. I think that was the year prior. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's a good song. Why? What were you going to say? That you don't like it or you do
like
it?
Oh, no. That was a weird tune for me. I really liked that song at the time, and it was so out of my wheelhouse for me to like, but I just loved Bootsy Collins killed it on that song. But
yeah,
getting back to Queensryche, Silent Lucidity, what a horrific lyric. Silent Lucidity.
I know.
Just awful.
Dude, I remember. They had this thing on MTV where you could vote for a music video, and they paired videos up against each other. And I remember, for some reason, I think I liked Rico Suave at this time, the Gerardo song, and it was up against Silent Lucidity, and Silent Lucidity won. I think it won the whole tournament, actually. And I just couldn't understand how anyone could like that song. And I thought you were going to like it. I'm glad you didn't.
No, I did not like that song. You know, also around 91, we'll take a quick aside here. This is really when MTV Unplugged started getting going.
Ah.
Like, that was around that time. That was a really, really big thing, and it showed a different side to artists. I really enjoyed that show.
Dude, it was awesome. I mean, that 10,000 Maniacs Unplugged was one of my favorite CDs of the 90s. I loved it so much. And obviously the Nirvana Unplugged changed the game, you know?
Sure.
But yeah, definitely awesome. Dude, at number 46, so influential to me as an 11-year-old, and just yesterday... I watched, there's a show on Netflix called This Is Pop, and the first episode is all about them, but this was their breakout hit. Boys to Men, Motown Philly was out at this time, and oh man, did it rock my world. Dude, I was all about Boys to Men. I dressed like Boys to Men. And it was just like, I was all about it. I thought it was the coolest thing I'd ever heard in my life.
We should start a band called Men to Boys.
And yeah.
Got to go backwards. That song was everywhere. And yeah, they had a style, too. I remember when they came out, it was as if every kid was getting their hair cut, you know, like the same kind of fade. And they were a phenomenon. And those guys, the thing about them, you know, this was before Pro Tools. And when you saw them live, those boys could sing, man. You know, there was no trickery going on there. Those guys could sing.
Dude, they tell the story in that thing I just watched. Like, so they snuck into some event where some famous people were singing, and Michael Bivins from Belle Biv DeVoe / New Edition was there, and they snuck in so they could go to him, and they were just like, "Yo, Biv, check this out," which they actually say in this song, but they just started singing, and they said everyone just like gathered around like, "Whoa." And then it was like they had Michael Bivins manage them, and obviously they became the hugest thing ever. And then in the end, Backstreet Boys and NSYNC did their thing, and kind of whatever, Boys to Men faded away. And it's kind of sad considering they were way better singers than any of those bands. But that's a whole podcast in itself. Let's keep going. I know you like this one, Chris. At number 44 at this time, Don't Treat Me Bad by Firehouse.
You know, Firehouse is an interesting band. I used to belong to these heavy metal message boards, and I was in there. We had opened for Bon Jovi, of course, and we were in Philadelphia, where Firehouse is from, and we played with Bon Jovi there at the arena. And I said something to the effect of, you know, there were some people in the front row not giving us the time of day. I said, you know, you can, you know, turn your back on us and not pay attention. You know, at least we're not Firehouse. Well, I had no idea, but Bill Leverty, the guitar player from Firehouse, was in the audience that night. And wow, he was going off on the boards, the metal boards I was in. And I ended up getting his email address, and I ended up telling him, "Hey man, this wasn't a slight. I actually like your band. I'm so sorry. It didn't, you know." And he wrote back, "That's really cool of you." But you know, Firehouse was good band. They had some good songs, but it was just a little too fluff, cheese. And by 1991, that stuff was just becoming so passe and so tired. If Firehouse had come out 86, 87, they would have had a good run. But by 91, that the scene was pretty much over.
Well, moving along, at number 36 was Winds of Change by the Scorpions.
Hated it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Do you
remember that part?
Hate it so much. You hate it so much that you can do the whistle solo.
I hate it so much. Yeah. And it was funny because I never really liked whistle songs. Guns N' Roses had Patience, and then Winds of Change. And that song, the reason I can recall it 30 years later is it was pretty much all the songs you're talking about, Motown, Philly, all these songs. But Winds of Change was just everywhere. You could not escape it. And I like some Scorpions in the early to mid 80s. I used to crank it up, but I did not like that song.
Down at Bunker Park.
to the winds of change.
Don't print that. You're going to run that anyways, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the only Scorpion song I actually know. But
really? Come on. You know Rock You Like a Hurricane.
Oh, yeah, I do. I didn't realize that was them. Yeah,
of course.
I know that.
And right. You know other ones, too, but I won't bore you.
Okay.
Or anybody else.
Moving along, at number 30 at this time was Every Heartbeat by Amy Grant. Clear they stay by one of America's sweethearts.
She was another one. You know, she had a really good career, but she was never Madonna, Cyndi Lauper, Whitney Houston, not the pinup type, you know.
Well, she was Christian. She was a Christian artist who crossed over, so yeah, that makes sense. At number 28, It Ain't Over Till It's Over by Lenny Kravitz. Maybe the only Lenny Kravitz song I like.
You know, I like some Lenny Kravitz. I love that song. I think that
it's
that
good,
song,
man.
I think that that song was way ahead of its time in 1991. It didn't sound like anything else that was on the radio.
Absolute classic at number 27. Summertime, DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. Let me run a rhyme and put your car on cruise and lay back because it's summertime. Dude, every May or June, like, I can't wait to hear that song for the first time when it is summertime. It just makes me feel good, man.
Yeah, and it's funny because DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, that whole thing, I thought Will Smith was popular back then, but look where his career went after that. You know, he was popular, but man, he went through the stratosphere mid-90s and beyond.
Yeah, man, absolutely. And that, I mean, that song's a jam. It's an absolute jam. Dude, I can't believe what's at number 26. You're not going to believe this because we've talked about this song before. I had never heard it before, but you had me reference it in an episode we did. I can't remember what episode. Maybe the Tim McElrath episode, but freaking Steelheart, I'll Never Let You Go was number 26.
Yeah, I was gonna say I knew I had a feeling you were gonna say that. Yeah, that record came out late '90, because I remember listening to it in my dad's car going to my aunt's house for Christmas holiday in 1990. But yeah, that was a big song.
Wow, I never would have thought that.
Yeah, yeah, it was a big song.
Number 15 at this time, "Walking in Memphis" by Mark Cohn. Waiting for the king down in the jungle room when I was walking in Memphis. Was walking with my feet 10 feet off a beam, walking in Memphis. But do I really feel the way I feel? That's a pretty good song.
Yeah, I for some reason always thought that was Stevie Ray Vaughan. I never knew it was Marcone. I just had no idea till years later. But yeah, that was another huge song. And it's funny, all the songs that you kind of mentioned today, with the exception of maybe, I don't know, Steelheart and Firehouse, kind of the same. Pretty radically different types of styles.
Oh, wait till we get to the top 10. We are all over the place, man. You're not going to believe it. There's some jams, though. So we're moving up to the top 10. And number 10, I don't know if you're going to know who this is. I will tell you that at this time, 1991, I'm 11 years old. Penguins just won the Stanley Cup. I loved Boys to Men, but this may have been my favorite band at this time.
Just name the song title. Let's see if I can get it.
Playground. I'm not saying this to put nobody down. This is what I see at the playground. You know. Well, I hope you enjoyed that sneak peek of the After Party podcast. If you'd like to hear the rest of this episode, as well as the back catalog of episodes, as well as weekly or bi-weekly new episodes, as well as getting discounts on Krista Makes a Podcast t-shirts and hoodies, as well as some surprises along the way, not to mention helping us continue to bring you awesome episodes of Krista Makes a Podcast every week, just head on over to KristaMakes.com, and we'd appreciate it a whole lot.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hi, this is Chad Nicefield.
And this is Justin Press.
We're the host of Making Waves, the Shiprock podcast, a part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. We're inviting you to sail away with us on an epic journey in musical enlightenment. Every week, we bring you only the best artists in rock music and discuss everything from the cruise to the stage to the saga of being a professional recording artist. We'll have lots of special guests along the way, so tune in every week.
Your stateroom is available every Monday morning, so welcome aboard.